Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. It's the 6th of January, but in the U.S., we don't say it like that anymore, do we? We say January 6th, at least we have since 5 years ago when hordes of people stormed the Capitol, hanging from the building and attacking police to try to force Congress into not certifying the 2020 election for anyone other than Donald Trump. That was after Joe Biden won the race. Here's how January 6th will be marked nationally from WCCO.
Here at the Capitol, it's going to be mostly informal ceremonies to mark 5 years since January 6th. House Democrats are going to have a public meeting with testimony and cameras, including testimony from witnesses and members of Congress who survived January 6th while hiding in the House chamber. Meanwhile, some of the pardoned January 6th rioters are marching, the same march they did 5 years ago from the White House ellipse to the Capitol. They say it'll be peaceful.
With more on the five-year mark since the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, the violent scene spawned months of controversy for then-candidate Donald Trump and the GOP. But Donald Trump began his second term in office by issuing mass pardons to the accused insurrectionist. We're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by KCBS political analyst Mark Sandolo. Mark, good morning. As we look back 5 years, what a monumental day in American history.
It's very traumatic, Steve, for a lot of folks who work in Washington. I mean, obviously there were 140 police officers who were injured, five of whom later died either by suicide or from the trauma they suffered that day. I don't know any of those people. I know countless people who work in the Capitol complex who are very emotional about it. I mean, anybody who has ever had to use, whether it's a press pass or, you know, get the tickets from your representative and go through that security to watch a mob with baseball bats and stun guns and weapons going in and trying to take over, you know, the chamber, sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office, you know, assuming the podium at the speaker's place at the House of Representatives. It was a very, very jarring thing for many people to see. Adding to that is this sort of denial by the people who were blamed for it, Donald Trump and some of the Republican Party, that it ever happened. I mean, Donald Trump still calls it a day of love. Something to celebrate that we should never forget as a positive thing. As you mentioned, he pardoned all of the, you know, protesters. And today there is actually a rally. One of the people who organized this, the head of the Proud Boys, he was sentenced to, I think it was 22 years in prison. But he on the day Donald Trump was inaugurated, he was freed from prison. Today he is leading a commemorative march to reenact not the violence, he insists, but just the peaceful part, to walk from the White House up to the Capitol to celebrate the cause that these people were behind. And for a lot of people, it's a rather insensitive, if not appalling, way to remember January 6th.
You know, Mark, you point out some people consider it an insurrection, an attack on the Capitol. Others call it a day of love, or Americans, you know, protesting, voicing their protests. That right there is really a microcosm of where this country is right now.
And you can certainly argue about, you know, the language was an attempted coup, which is what Nancy Pelosi said in a statement today. You know, was it an insurrection? Was it a riot? Was it a protest? It was not a day of love. And there's simply facts that refute that. That's not a matter of opinion. That's that's a matter of fact. There were investigations into it. There are videos. There are testimony of people. You can watch police officers pleading for their lives as the crowd is chanting, "Kill him with his gun, kill him with his gun." They were looking for, they built a gallows on the mall to hang the vice president, you know, Mike Pence. And, you know, there was actually a plaque that was the Congress passed when Democrats had control of Congress, simply to honor, not to criticize, you know, the insurrectionists, but just to honor the Capitol Police who stayed there and bravely tried to stave off the crowd. And according to the bill passed by Congress, which makes it a law and signed by the president, that plaque was supposed to go up on the east side of the Capitol 2 years ago. And the plaque was built. But since Republicans took Congress, it's been sitting in a storage room instead. They simply don't want to put it up because they think it's bad politics. you don't have to be a liberal or conservative to say the January 6th was a travesty in American history. But there are good people of a good part of the country, Donald Trump included, who have used as a litmus test as to whether or not you support him or not. And those people who have criticized Trump over January 6th, you know, whether it's Liz Cheney or Mitt Romney or Mitch McConnell and many, many others, all of them are out of office right now.
All right, Mark, thank you. That is KCBS political analyst Mark Sandolo on this fifth anniversary of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
Adam and Jordana on WCCO Radio discuss January 6th, what it means today, in the context of news that a Hilton Hotel, independently owned in Minneapolis, revoked reservations by members of ICE and said they're not welcome.
January 6th, 2021 was blank. January 6th, 2021 was blank. In case you forgot what happened on January 6th, 2021, and you may have, because really not a lot of recognition about it. Let me just remind you. A mob went to the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, and some folks decided to break into the Capitol, fought with police officers, in an effort to stop the certification of the 2020 election. That's what happened. It was an attack on the U.S. Capitol. An attack on the U.S. Capitol. And when I opened up Facebook this morning, I thought, boy, that's a significant day. Will I see postings, pictures of that mob, smoke rising up as people battled with police, as people hit police with flagpoles and stormed gates and broke windows at the U.S. Capitol and defaced property in the Capitol? Will there be postings of it with hashtag never forget? It's five-year anniversary. You know, we mark things by their significant anniversaries. We're 5 years out. It was 5 years ago today. I remember exactly where I was. It's just down the hall in a studio, watching video of it, saying, oh, this is an attack on the U.S. Capitol. So, fill in the blank, my friends, because we're going to get very different answers. Because, like, if I said September 11th, 2001 was blank, I think we'd get pretty similar answers, all kind of on the same, of the same feeling. Not January 6th. And no, I'm not saying January 6th was just like September 11th. We lost 3,000 Americans on September 11th. But January 6th was pretty jarring. Pretty jarring. In a similar way to September 11th was, thinking, that doesn't happen here. We don't have massive terrorist attacks here. And on January 6th, we don't have people storming our Capitol. This isn't a banana republic. We don't have coups. Boy. And we've erased that from history, haven't we? Pretty successfully.
I would say January 6th was revealing, especially in hindsight, to think that that happened with President Trump, you could say, either allowing it or supporting it to happen. Mm-hmm. At least one of those is true.
Yep, I think both are true.
Okay. And then flash forward to just over a year ago, and half of the people in America chose to
The people who voted.
Voted. Yep, half the people who voted, about 50% of us that voted.
Said, let's give this guy another
chance. Let's give this guy another chance at the White House.
Yep.
And to me, that's very revealing.
Absolutely.
That half of our people in America who voted saw what happened that day and said, yep, that's the man I want in the White House. Revealing.
And mission accomplished for those folks who wanted to change history on what January 6th actually was. We're not even like recognizing it today. And what does that what does that tell you about where we're at as a country?
It tells me we're in a pretty bad spot, and it'll be interesting to see how 50-100 years from now how history portrays that day.
And that's, you raise an interesting point, because I struggle with this all the time. It's like today I was going to post something on Facebook, but I don't, there's only so, like, I'm coming on the radio to talk about it, and I'm going to get smoke from people talking about it on the radio. I don't need to post it on Facebook to some people to argue about what I know what I saw on January 6, 2021.
Yeah.
I know what I saw. And any amount of backtracking or whitewashing or saying, "Oh, you didn't really, oh, this wasn't really," you can't change that fact. And I'm glad you brought up history, because this is tough right now. And I'll admit, it's tough for me. It's like, my gosh, shouldn't everybody feel this way? And I get it, they don't. But I'll tell you what, Jim, I think to your point about history, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, or 50 years, I know exactly how history is going to remember it. And that's what gives me actually some comfort about it, because I know what I saw, and I know how history is going to reflect it. So, big news yesterday, it's revealed CBS got the scoop on this, because they got the scoop that 2,000 more federal agents will be coming to the Twin Cities. Whether those are ICE agents or people who are digging into fraud, they will be arriving. And also, we got news that a hotel in Lakeville apparently had at least denied or accused of denying ICE agent bookings. How do we know that? Because ICE tweeted the email they got from this hotel in Lakeville, which was a Hilton hotel, privately owned, independently owned hotel. And after this happened, they said, Hilton said, this is independently owned, we had nothing to do with this. And Hilton said, they're correcting it. And now we're this morning that Hilton is separating themselves from that hotel. They're removing that Minnesota hotel from its system. So the question is, you may object to that. You may be supportive of what ICE is doing, or maybe you're even not supportive of ICE, what ICE is doing. But, hey, they're customers of a hotel, and they should be able to book rooms and stay there. But does the law, though, and I think the law is on the hotel side, I do believe, and of course, this could be and possibly will play out in a courtroom if it comes to that, that says they are in their right. The law says that they are a private company. Are they not allowed to refuse service to people based on their employment? Or based on who they work for? I don't think working for ICE or working for Homeland Security is a protected class. And by the way, I'll just say right now, I think it's a foolish move for a hotel to say, hey, we're not going to take you here. I think you're making a huge political statement, and that might score you political points, and you might strongly believe against their mission, but I think you're in the business of being a hotel, and if these are just people who are renting rooms to stay there temporarily, I think you open your doors to them. But legally, I think they might be in their right to refuse service to them.
Yeah, my initial reaction is, even though I don't particularly support what ICE is doing here, that a hotel should not be in the business of determining what profession of person or what political persuasion of person is allowed to stay at their hotel. Like, I don't like that. But when it comes down to the legality of it, I guess you're right. And I think of it like this. If a hotel is asked to rent rooms to a local hockey team, hey, our hockey team's in town, we'd like to rent rooms. Like, I guess that hotel can say, well, we think that your hockey players are going to cause too much mess and ruckus, and we would like to not rent that to you. I think that's a bad move by the hotel. No,
I think
you shouldn't
we've had
do that.
You know what? But I think we've actually had examples of that.
I'm sure we have. But I think the hotel is legally allowed to not do that. I think in both cases, though, whether you're not renting to a ruckus set of teenage boys or ICE, I think the right move for that hotel chain is to say, whoa, 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 whoa. No, as Hilton or as whatever hotel chain you are, like, we have our own policies, and our policy is not to deny somebody a room based on factors like who your employer is or what hockey team you're on, in my silly example.
Right.
So I think knowing that this hotel now will not be a Hilton affiliate, which means that is going to, I think, hurt their prospects
probably
of being a successful hotel.
Right. Or not. I mean, this is one of those classic cases, too. where there's going to be certain people who say, oh, I'm never. And there's also going to be people who say, bravo.
Yeah.
And anytime, I don't know if you're going to go out of your way to stay at that Lakeville hotel.
I don't think
simply
so. I think,
because what they did.
It's going to hurt them, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's the right result. This hotel stuck its neck out in a not illegal way, but in a, I don't know, morally questionable way.
Mm-hmm.
And now their punishment, again, is not going to be legal, but their punishment is going to be in the pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to struggle as a hotel and face changes at their hotel because of that decision. And I think that's the right outcome.
Text coming in fast and furious here, and we love a phone call on this too. Maybe you, honestly, I'm surprised because a lot of the texts we're getting seems to support the hotel. Maybe the hotel thinks that ICE would harass and kidnap their employees. Somebody else says if a bakery can deny service to a gay couple, a hotel can deny service to ICE agents. I think it might have to start staying at Hilton hotels. Well, Hilton has now separated themselves from that hotel. So I think the stance at Hilton, corporate Hilton, is that hotel in Lakeville made the bad move, that they should have opened their rooms to the federal agents. Think about the employees of that hotel. Could be part of the reason. Yeah, that's. I mean, let's be honest with you. Who's doing most of the cleaning in hotel rooms? Right? And if I'm the manager of that hotel and I have great employees and I don't know their
legal status,
immigration status, or even if I do and that they're citizens, clearly there have been legal citizens who have been harassed. Again, the argument that ICE is just going around taking only rapists, murderers, and the worst among us, that's just not happening. And people who are legal citizens have been caught up in this and are being harassed. I should not have to walk down the street with my passport on me at all times just because somebody might come up to me and say, hey, are you a U.S. citizen? Because that's what's happening. And that's not the America that I grew up in or believe in. And we're debating whether or not, though, that hotel, is it within its right to say, no, we don't want to serve, we don't want to have ICE agents staying at our hotel? And I think legally they're okay in that because I don't think being working for the government puts you in a protected group. Yvonne is in Prior Lake. She's called in. Hi, Yvonne. Thanks for calling. What's your take on this?
Hi. Thank you. Well, you know, the thing is, if you think about how many cities Trump has left high and dry,
mm-hmm.
went in there, charged a bunch of things, and they left Duluth, Minnesota with a big bill and
yes.
that's never been paid.
Yep.
Okay.
That's documented, by the way. Yes, that is documented.
Yes. And that's not the only city, but I'm just naming Duluth.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about it, you are right that it's not illegal to do that. Because I work for the Department of Employment and Economic Development, worked with a lot of employers, worked with employees, disabilities, and it is totally wrong that they think, unless you're saying, okay, you're a certain ethnic minority,
mm-hmm.
you can't come in here.
Yeah.
It's the whole group right across. And that is true about causing a ruckus over there.
But here's another issue that a few texters brought up and that I was thinking about, too, because I'm not a lawyer. I don't know the specifics of the innkeeper laws of Minnesota. But businesses apparently can refuse service for neutral, non-discriminatory reasons because of safety concerns. And that raises a point of, okay, and now people know that ICE agents are staying at this hotel. We've seen the videos everywhere of people harassing ICE agents.
Yeah, they don't want to protest outside
right?
their hotel.
And to think that people wouldn't show up at that hotel and protest is foolish. I think they would be. And I can't see how ICE would stay there now because everybody knows like that where that hotel is, and they'd be opening themselves up to like nonstop protests. So if I'm the hotel owner and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a safety issue for me, especially my other guests who are just here on business or here seeing family, and now they're staying at this hotel, and they're wondering why there's 200 people outside banging on pots and pans all night.
Yeah, and what if you're a hotel that is just serving tourists? And
exactly.
Do those
right.
tourists want to be at the ICE hotel this weekend? No.
Right. Just some text here, 651-461-9226. That independently owned Hilton Hotel has every right to refuse business, and it is a hotel franchise. The only reason Hilton hotels distance themselves from this hotel is fear of retribution from Donald Trump. Maybe the hotel has legal immigrants working there but doesn't want them to be harassed. by ICE because of their skin color or the language they speak. Yeah, plenty of people texting in that that thought. Biden opened the borders to all who could make it to the border. That is not the America I believe in. A country needs borders, and Biden ruined it by letting too many millions in 4 years. I agree with that. And back to my point, but we've also had deportations happen since borders were established. I don't remember such a widespread effort of intimidation with masked agents going around rounding people up. I'm not saying that deportations shouldn't happen. I've never said that. I've never said that the worst of the worst among us should be the first ones to go. But I also, if you're talking about people who've been in the country, maybe even prior to Joe Biden becoming president, who've been here, who've established a life here, and suddenly are getting caught up into this, and to throw them in the same boat as violent criminals, I'm not okay with that.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.